word is not in us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let me walk you through the progression real fast. We started, this whole thing is built off of Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We talked about the fact that we are alive. We need to live alive. From the moment we're saved till we see Jesus face to face, we're in this struggle. We are warring in our members. Our flesh is still wanting to do fleshly things. The Spirit of God's wanting to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we've got a war in our members. And it's going to be trouble. Life is real, and life happens, and there's going to be trials within and without. But like Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And we have fightings and fears within and without, but we are still in it. Amen. Because He's in us. And then we talked about the fact that we have to abide in Jesus. John 15, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And if we're going to live as though we've been made alive, we have got to stay plugged into Jesus. You got to stay connected to him, stay in him, abide in him, dwell in him, continue in him and in his word, because life comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. And nowhere else. And then we talked about this. Romans 6:12 said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. If you're saved, then sin doesn't rule over you anymore. It doesn't have control. It doesn't have a dominion. It doesn't get to rule your life. You get to, as you used to give your life to wickedness, now you can give your life to righteousness. Amen. You can live that way. But what happens? What happens when we fall? And living alive doesn't mean you're never going to fail. It doesn't mean you're not going to fall, but it means that you respond to sin in your life the right way every time. Amen. Failure's real. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, who are we deceiving? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And he goes on in verse 10 to say, if we say that we have not sinned, who do we make a liar? Okay, so if I say I have no sin right now, then I'm deceiving myself. I'm just lying to myself. And if I say that I have not sinned, like I've not done that, then I'm saying that God's a liar. Because he said that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've got to understand that sin's going to happen. We've got to learn to deal with it. So I can't say that I have no sin. I can't say that I've never sinned. I've got to be willing to admit that I am a sinner. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I try to share the gospel with people and I give them the law to bring the conviction of sin, I'm always astounded at people who just can't admit that they've sinned. Like, I don't know if it's their upbringing. I don't know if it's their pride. I don't know if they're deceiving themselves. I don't really know all that about it is. But I have no trouble admitting that I've sinned. I just, listen, you're not right in your head if you think you've never done anything wrong. When we look at the Old Testament, there were a couple of people who sinned against the Lord, and they stand as great testimonies, one of how not to deal with our sin and one how to deal with our sin. And we won't take the time to read it all right now, but you could go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you can read about a man named Saul. He was tall. He was heads and shoulders above the rest. And he was king in Israel. And he sinned against God and he did the thing God said don't do. Amen. Remember that? Everything's God's, don't take anything. So what does he do? He keeps the best of the livestock. And when Samuel confronts it about him, he says, I did what God said. I obeyed the Lord. And Samuel's like, then what is, I hear this bleeding in my ear. Like I hear the sheep. What's that all about? Oh, well, we did it, you know, for God. And he began to justify his sin. And then he tried to blame shift. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. First, he says, no, I did it because I was trying to be super spiritual. I sinned against you, God. I disobeyed your direct command because I was being spiritual. Right? I mean, we can justify anything. And when that didn't work, he was like, well, those people, I mean, I was afraid of them. They're terrifying. People are terrifying. Don't you know? And so he tried to blame shift. He tried to deny. Friends, we got to remember that God knows. Amen. and to obey is better than sacrifice. Man, Samuel was a mess. He said in verse 30, I have sinned, yet honor me now. He didn't want to face up to his sin. He just wanted Samuel to pretend like everything was okay, and it was devastating. There was another king who was king after Saul. David. David was king. He wasn't very tall. He was a scrawny little guy, right? Pretty boy. Nobody thought David would be king. You guys remember that? Samuel goes to anoint the next king, and man, it's just sad. Jesse brings all of his sons out and doesn't even think about David. Samuel's like, don't you have any more? He's like, oh, well, I mean, there's David, but he's not the one you're looking for. But that's exactly who God was looking for. David was far from perfect. We know about his sin. We know about his adultery. We know about his murder and trying to cover it up. The wickedness that he committed against God was absolutely vile. Amen. But when Nathan the prophet comes to him and confronts him with his sin and says, thou art the man, Amen. David repented. He didn't try to blame shift. He didn't try to make excuses. He didn't try to justify it. He just repented. And if you ever have sinned against God, let me try it like this. If you ever happen to fail the Lord since you've been saved, if this ever happens to you and you sin, can I commend Psalm 51 to you? I'm going to tell you the truth. It's a good place for us as a church, Amen. When we sin against the Lord, to be on our faces alone with Psalm 51 open and let David's prayer of repentance become our own. Amen. It's a good place to be. Right. And if your heart tonight in this room or watching online is that you wouldn't really ever need to repent like that because you don't ever sin that bad, you better wake up before God Amen. Wakes you up. Amen. It's funny how bad we think other people's sin is. And we never see our sin as that bad. If we were wise, we would see our sin as God sees it. Amen. Exceedingly sinful. The difference between Saul and David was their confession and their repentance. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. If you confess and you forsake your sin, you'll have mercy. Friends, this is repentance. And this is what he calls us to in 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we what? Confess. The word confess means to agree with God. It literally means to say the same thing. Okay? Now, you in your own mind have an idea about your sin, what you think about your sin. And I can assure you the world has their own ideas about sin. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to somebody out there in the world who's lost for advice and counsel about something you did wrong that you're convicted about, they would probably say, dude, that's no big deal. Amen. Like I did that 20 times yesterday. No big deal. Like it doesn't matter. What are you even upset about? Don't worry about that. And they would give you horrible, right. wicked, and damning advice. Amen. I don't think that you need to look into your own heart to see about your sin. And you certainly don't need to ask lost people out there about your sin. But you do need to care what God says about your sin. So when we confess, what we're doing is we're agreeing with God. And what I'm doing is I'm saying the same thing about my sin that God says about my sin. Amen. It's exceedingly sinful. I mean, even my righteousness is like filthy rags. So how much worse is my sin? Amen. And in case anybody's upset that you think I'm preaching too hard at you tonight, this is so convicting to me because it is so easy for us to get comfortable with our own sin. And let me help you out with this too. where you are today may be light years better than you were a year ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago. And you may have gotten a little bit satisfied, like, I'm not near as bad as I used to be, so I'm in good shape. Friend, listen, Jesus is the goal. Right? Holiness is the goal. Holiness. To be holy as he is holy. That's what we're aiming for. So praise God that you're not what you used to be. Rejoice and give thanks to God that he's delivered you this far. But don't be satisfied with where you are. He wants to keep changing you. He wants to keep growing you. He wants to continue to transform you until you see him face to face. Confess. Confess. If we confess, if we agree with God, if we say the same thing with God about our sins, he is faithful and just. Amen. How many times will Jesus forgive you for your sin? Like, I don't think you ought to make it a challenge. Like, I don't think you ought to live your life going, I'm going to see how many times Jesus will forgive me. I don't think you should make that a goal. But I do know that when Peter wanted to know, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sinned? Seven times? I mean, he was so proud of himself. Like, if this knucklehead does the same thing against me every time, he does it seven times and I forgive him, like, surely, like, that's good enough. Right? Is that what the Lord said? 70 times seven. And listen, I promise you, Peter was just like some of y'all. He probably got a notebook out, and he's like, all right, that's one. A month later, he's like, dudes, you're up to like 29, and I am keeping score. You think that's what the Lord was teaching? Keep score? Keep a tally? Keep up with it? I mean, once they get to 490, you're in the clear. You don't have to forgive them anymore. God calls us to forgive in the same way he forgives us. Amen. And thank God, he never stops forgiving me. Can you imagine? Just stop, guys, for a second and think about what it would be like if he did. You'd have hit 490 a long time ago. You sinned against Jesus and against him and against him and against him. And if he'd have been keeping score, keeping count and stopping at 490, we'd all be done. Amen. No more forgiveness, only death for us. But he is merciful. Amen. And gracious and long-suffering and kind. And he continues to forgive. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Amen. This is where we got to start. God's given us a way back to him when we fail, when we fall, when we trip, when we sin. He gives us a way back. So what do? We don't hide it, but we confess it, and we forsake it. Amen. He is faithful to do it. He'll do it. Every time. He is faithful. And I don't know if you've ever been there. Let's see if we can get real for a second. Some of you have been saved for a little while. Have you ever been living with unconfessed sin? Amen. And you felt like you couldn't ask for forgiveness? Like there's just something in you that says, you can't. Amen. Maybe the devil's telling you he won't forgive you this time. Or maybe he's telling you that if you confess, you're just going to mess up again. There's no sense in asking for forgiveness now because you're just going to do it again. You did it before. I don't know what kind of lies you've been told or you've heard or you've allowed to enter into your mind, but I want you to know this tonight. He is faithful. Amen. There is no sin that you can ever commit so many times that he won't forgive you. So anything that's trying to hold you back from forsaking your sin or confessing your sin or repentance, that is not of God. Amen. That's of the devil. Right. Satan, if he's got you unwilling to confess, he's got you right where he wants you. Amen. So confess it because he's faithful and he's just, and I love this. Some of you guys are like, I can't ask him to forgive me because I don't deserve it. That's right. Amen. But he It's not just mercy that causes him to forgive you. It is justice. Do you understand that? Well, how could it be just? I'm the one that sinned. But Jesus paid the price. He is just. It is justice to be forgiven because the blood of Jesus has taken away your sin. Isn't that amazing? You see, God just writes the scripture different than I would. I wouldn't have put just there. I would have put merciful. Like, that's the word I would have picked. Because when I think of Jesus forgiving me, I don't think it's just. I think he's just merciful. But shock of all shocks, the Holy Spirit knows better than I do. And he knows that the right word that you and I need to know is that he is just to forgive you. It's right because Jesus paid the price. I got some great news for you in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Look at it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now I want you to stop for just a second. You might remember 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he tells us why he wrote the letter. Do you remember? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he writes this so that those who believe can know and keep on believing. That's the purpose. So the whole letter is all kinds of proofs that you can know, all kinds of assurances of your faith. Amen. Right? Isn't that what it's about? Okay. I mean, if it's not, just shake your head no and we'll talk about it. But that's what it's about, right? Amen. Okay. So he says, these things write unto you that ye sin not. You see, all of these assurances, all of these guarantees, all of these ways for you to know that you have eternal life motivate you not to sin. You guys tracking with me right now? I believe in what's called the doctrine of eternal security. I believe that when somebody's saved, they're saved forever. Now, I've got some friends in Christianity who would give me a hard time and say, you Baptists, you believe in that once saved, always saved. And they talk about it like it's some kind of ugly, dirty, evil, out of hell doctrine. That when Jesus saves you, he saves you forever. And I think the reason they think it's so bad is because they don't understand what I believe. And what I believe is this. Jesus is the only one who can save, and he's the only one who can keep me saved. But what they're taught is that what we believe is that it's a license to sin. That you could say a prayer, get saved, and then just live like the devil and nobody cares. Let me make it plain to you. God cares. He cares. It's not a license to sin. And the assurance of everlasting life does not motivate me to sin. It motivates me to not sin. These things I wrote unto you so that you don't sin. But John's not only inspired by the Spirit here, but he's not stupid. Amen. So he gives the next line. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. I'm writing these things to you so you don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate. Amen. You have a defense attorney. Amen. The best defense attorney in all of creation. Listen, when Jesus is your defense attorney, you'll never lose. Right. Isn't that good news? Amen. Right. I don't know if any of you have ever had to go to court before, but you got this lawyer you're depending on to defend you, and you're like, I don't know about this guy. I don't know if this is going to go good or not. I've sat through one criminal trial that I was there for a family member and watched it, and I sat on a jury one time. For a criminal trial. And here's what I learned. Here's what I learned in our court system. The truth doesn't matter. Amen. In our court system, what matters is who has the best lawyer. Amen. Now that's what I learned. And you can tell me why I'm wrong later and throw rocks at me if you want to. But I figured out whoever has the best lawyer, that's really all that matters. That's my experience. But you know what? I don't know if that's true or not, but I know in this case it's definitely true. When you've got Jesus as your lawyer, you always win.
Amen. Amen.
You know who's on the other side? The accuser of the brethren, the devil. And he can hurl all kinds of accusations against me that are right. He could tell you all the things that I've done wrong, and he could tell the Lord all the things that I've done wrong and how I've messed up and how I've failed and how evil and wicked and how pitiful I am. And Jesus just stands up and says, it's covered by my blood.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
And the defense rests.
Amen.
And no matter how many times Satan tries to take me to trial again, the same result is every time. It's the same result every time. Jesus says, it's covered by my blood.
Right.
And there's nothing else the world, the flesh, or the devil can do.
Amen.
So I want to tell you, friends, if you have sinned against the Lord, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
But not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
So you have an advocate, and you are secure in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you've been made alive by the Spirit, you are living in the Spirit, there's no condemnation for you. Romans 8:33 goes on to say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who can condemn you when Jesus is making intercession for you? You're secure. I read a quote. I can't tell you much about the guy. His name's Richard Sibbs. He says, there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. There's more mercy in Christ than sin in us. That's pretty amazing. I didn't count. I don't know exactly how many there are tonight, but I know this. I know how much sin is in me. And if we multiply that by everybody in the room, that's a lot of sin just right here in this room. Jesus Christ has enough mercy for every single one of us. He's got enough mercy for all 8 billion people who live on the planet.
Amen. Amen.
And all the people who ever did live, and all the people who ever will live, he has enough mercy for us all. What a Savior. What a Savior. Let me draw your attention to Psalm 51. I mentioned it, but let's turn there. Psalm 51. These Wednesday night messages lately, we've tried to keep them very practical because we're talking about how to live alive. And I have no idea what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life. It could be that everybody in the room has a clear account with Jesus tonight. Like your heart is thoroughly right with God. You've got no unconfessed, no unrepented sin. And you know, that would be the hope for every time we come together. But I also know that we all sin every day.
Amen.
And it's very likely that some of us are here with unconfessed and unrepented
Amen.
Sin. A wicked thought, an angry word, a sinful deed. I don't know, but God does, and you do. So I want to encourage you tonight to follow this pattern. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, of righteousness, with burnt offerings and with whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let me just challenge you with this as we wrap it up tonight. Be quick to recognize your sin. David said, I acknowledge my sin. Be quick to recognize it and then confess it. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Name your sin and confess it to God. And then repent and turn away from it. I want you to see how he turned. He cried out for God's mercy and he asked for cleansing. He was repentant. He was repenting, turning away from his sin, turning to God and seeking the cleansing of God. And it's something that you want. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. 1 John 1:9 said that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So receive that cleansing. Receive that cleansing. And then get up. Get back up again. Get back up again. He said, create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then he talked about this. Then will I sing aloud of thy praise. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. Listen, we can't stay on our face forever. We've got to get up.
Amen.
Got to get up again. If you'll ever learn this, it'll change your Christian life. God does truly, actually, really forgive your sin.
Amen.
And you can get up. You can get back up again. And you can live as though he has actually forgiven you.
Amen.
Because he has.
Right.
Stop trying to punish yourself. Stop trying to find a way to forgive yourself. David didn't say, Lord, help me to forgive myself. No, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He was dealing with his sin with God. And once that was dealt with, then God cleansed him and he could get up and go again.
Amen.
He could come back to praise. He could go back to doing the work that God wanted him to do. And can I just ask you tonight, do we have work to do?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to ask Brother Carl to come and we're going to have a verse of invitation tonight. And while they're coming to get ready, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, some of you tonight are like, I'm good. Nothing wrong between me and Jesus. And I hope that's true. I hope that with all my heart. But I want to give you an opportunity tonight that if there is anything at all, great or small, that's not right between you and the Lord, that you would take this opportunity. You can pray right where you're at, or you can come. The altar's open. You can come and humble yourself before God, and you can cry out to God and say, God, I have sinned against you. My sin is in my face, and I confess it. Tonight, you can ask him to give you a clean heart, and he will. He will. He'll make you clean. So if he's convicting your heart, he's calling you. Or maybe you just want to come tonight and give him thanks because he is merciful, because he is forgiving. Whatever it is, if he's drawing his spirit's leading, you come while we sing.